The summer of 1932 finds 12-year-old Odie O'Banion and his older brother Albert living as the only white children at the Lincoln Indian Training School in Minnesota. Under the cruel supervision of the Brickmans, whom the children call the Black Witch, the school functions as a prison where Native American children are stripped of their culture and subjected to abuse. Odie's rebellious spirit frequently lands him in the quiet room, a small cell where his only companion is a rat he names Faria. Unlike his rule-following brother Albert, Odie questions authority and finds solace in playing his harmonica. The brothers have formed a tight bond with two other orphans, Mose, a mute Sioux boy whose tongue was cut out when he was found beside his murdered mother, and Emmy, a sweet young girl recently orphaned when her mother was killed by a tornado. When a series of tragic events unfolds, including Odie accidentally killing a sadistic staff member who had murdered another student, the four children flee in a canoe down the Gilead River. Their destination is St. Louis, where they believe they may have a living relative. With the Brickmans in pursuit, the children embark on a journey that will test their courage, loyalty, and understanding of both the world and themselves. The children's canoe journey reveals an America devastated by economic collapse. Hoovervilles, makeshift settlements of displaced people, dot the landscape, where natural beauty contrasts with human suffering. In Hopersville, they meet the Schofield family, who maintain dignity despite losing their farm. Odie experiences first love with their daughter Maybeth and gives Mr. Schofield most of their money for the family's journey to Chicago. The children confront the era's social tensions. Mose faces discrimination as a Native American, and they witness police brutality against protesters. In Mankato, they learn about the 1862 mass hanging of 38 Sioux men, a historical atrocity that deepens Mose's understanding of his heritage. The Depression acts as a character itself, revealing people's true nature. As Odie reflects after meeting both cruel and kind strangers, the heart is like a river. It can be broad and slow, narrow and fast, rocky or smooth, but in the end, it finds its way to the sea. This journey is fundamentally a spiritual odyssey. Odie begins with a bitter view of God as a destructive force. God is a tornado, he paints on the Lincoln School water tower before escaping. The Brickman's hypocritical Christianity has left him deeply skeptical of faith. His spiritual questioning deepens when the children encounter Sister Eve's traveling healing crusade. Initially impressed by her apparent miracles, Odie later discovers some healings are staged. Yet Sister Eve challenges him. I never said I healed anybody. God does the healing. I'm just the vessel. When Albert nearly dies from a rattlesnake bite, Odie confronts the limits of both faith and skepticism. Albert survives through conventional medicine, antivenom arriving just in time. Meanwhile, Emmy experiences seizures where she glimpses future events or seems to alter reality, suggesting a mystical dimension to existence. As Sister Eve tells Odie, Emmy doesn't understand what she has, but someday she will. Storytelling serves as both survival mechanism and trauma processor. Odie's vagabond tales for Emmy aren't mere entertainment, but psychological tools. In these stories, he transforms their group into fantasy characters, a brave boy with a magical harmonica, a girl who speaks to animals, a wise Native American protector, and a gentle giant. By recasting struggles through fantasy, these narratives help the children process fears while preserving hope. When they meet Jack, a grief-stricken farmer, Odie's harmonica playing and storytelling temporarily breach the man's emotional defenses. At Sister Eve's revival meetings, this narrative power manifests when Odie's wordless musical storytelling disarms a man threatening the crowd with a shotgun. The music reaches beyond his anger to touch something fundamentally human. After Odie confesses to Sister Eve, "I don't know what's true anymore," her response, "The truth is whatever story you believe," reveals the complex relationship between truth and narrative. This acknowledges how our understanding of events is shaped by the stories we construct around them. For four orphan children, home represents more than shelter. It's about belonging and identity. Each searches differently. Albert, the practical older brother, defines home through responsibility and protection, earning respect with his mechanical skills. Mose faces a more complex journey as a Native American raised in a white institution. Learning his Sioux name, Amdacha, broken to pieces, begins his reconnection with his cultural heritage. Emmy, having lost her mother to the tornado, attaches to the group with childlike adaptability. Her seizures suggest a sensitivity to hidden dimensions of the world. For Odie, home remains most elusive. His restlessness makes him question every temporary haven they find. Their journey culminates in St. Louis, where Odie discovers that Aunt Julia is actually his biological mother who gave him to her sister to raise. This revelation forces him to reconsider his understanding of family and belonging. When the Brickmans finally catch up with them, the confrontation leaves both Odie and his mother wounded, physically and emotionally. Perhaps the most powerful theme is the creation of family bonds that transcend blood relationships. The four children, only two being biological siblings, form the Vagabonds, a unit stronger than many traditional families. Their loyalty is repeatedly tested, but ultimately endures beyond their journey. This theme extends to other characters, creating chosen families. Gertie and Flo maintain a loving partnership despite social prejudice. Hopersville residents form a community based on mutual support, and Sister Eve's healing crusade functions as a makeshift family. The novel challenges traditional notions of family through Odie's discovery about his mother, forcing him to reconsider what family truly means. When Albert arrives after Odie is shot, he declares, "You are my brother. The hell with everything else." This affirmation of chosen over biological ties represents the emotional core of their story. In the epilogue, the four vagabonds maintain their bonds despite different paths. Albert becomes an engineer before dying in World War II. Mose returns to Lincoln School as a coach and advocate for Native American rights. Emmy develops her spiritual gifts under Sister Eve's guidance. And Odie eventually returns to the Gilead River, finding home not in a place but in the stories connecting generations. What makes this story resonate is its refusal of easy answers while affirming human resilience. Despite facing institutional abuse, murder, pursuit, hunger, and betrayal, the orphans maintain their capacity for wonder, love, and hope. Like the rivers carrying the children toward uncertainty, life suggests that surrender to the journey itself may be the truest path to peace. As an elderly Odie reflects, "There is a river that runs through time and the universe, a flow of spirit at the heart of all existence." In following four orphans' search for home, we recognize our own deepest longing, perhaps discovering that home exists in the stories we tell and the people we love.